Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious. It has been a hell of a day. I don't know if you caught my last episode. I have a very high level law enforcement source that gave me quite a bit of information on the Nancy Guthrie case in Tucson, Arizona. And there's been a lot of backlash. I understand it. I get it. Whenever information like that comes out, been to this rodeo before, seen this happen before. Just quickly, if you missed it, a couple of things I was told by, again, a highly placed law enforcement source, that the Nest cams, plural, on Nancy Guthrie's home were smashed. Not just one, not just in the front, but two of them smashed. Back door left wide open. Blood in the house. As well as you saw Brian Enten from News Nation's reporting, blood was found outside the house at the front door on those tiles out the front door. The other big news that my source told me that Nancy Guthrie's other daughter, Annie Guthrie's car was towed and was in evidence. And that also, and this is the important language, and this is the language that I've been reporting, that the son-in-law may be prime suspect now. So I have said over and over again, law enforcement always reserves the right to change their minds and change direction. They did that with Ed Smart. They did that with JonBenet Ramsey. They did that with Richard Jewell. They've done it with a lot of people. But as of now, my source said that is the prime, maybe the prime suspect is the son-in-law. Then you probably saw the news that the sheriff put out the next day after I released that information. At this point, I'm reading from Sheriff Chris Nanos's release. At this point, investigators have not identified a suspect or person of interest in this case. Detectives continue to speak with anyone who may have had contact with Mrs. Guthrie. Detectives are working closely with the Guthrie family. While we appreciate the public's concern, the sharing of unverified accusations or false information is irresponsible and does not assist in the investigation. No suspect or person of interest has been identified at this time. I am well aware that no suspect had been identified to us publicly. This is inside information. And so, again, from an extraordinarily reputable, highly placed source. And to that, I just want to tell you, I have had this happen before many times. I'll take you back just a couple of years to 2022. Moscow police on December the 19th, 2022, made a definitive connection between the DNA that was found on the knife sheath used at 1122 King Road and left behind. They made the connection to a man named Brian Koberger again on December 19th, 2022. On December 20th, the next day, the Moscow police chief recorded a video and posted it on the Moscow police website, the Facebook page. And let me read for you what that statement said. No suspect, parentheses S, so suspect or suspects, has been identified. And only vetted information that does not hinder the investigation will be released to the public. We encourage referencing official releases for accurate and updated progress. So again, they had Brian Koberger identified as a suspect on the 19th. They connected that DNA to him. And on the next day, they said, no suspect or suspects identified and only vetted information that does not hinder the investigation will be released. By the way, I should also note that for 2 weeks before he was arrested on the 30th of December, there were FBI surveillance teams that had traveled with him, surveilling him all the way back from Pullman, Washington, to his home in Pennsylvania as he drove with his dad. So yeah, they had their eye on a man named Brian Koberger and were still releasing definitively no suspects identified. So it's like I said before, I have had this happen before. I've seen it before. Does that mean they have the right to change their minds and have somebody else in their sights? Absolutely. But at the time that I got this information, this was what was being said within the investigation. Son-in-law may be prime suspect. Okay. I want to go back to a couple of other things that are so big today, and that is the heartbreaking video that was released by Savannah Guthrie and her two siblings. It is hard to watch. This is a woman who is in the worst torment of her life. Her mother is missing. There is blood outside the house. There are FBI agents all over the place, both in her sister's house and in her mother's house. They are collecting all sorts of boxes and items from both houses. I'm going to show you that video, and I'm going to tell you who's reporting those things as well, reputable news sources, and video that shows it. So this has been a very, very hard time for Savannah and her siblings. This is the video that she put out today.
We want to thank all of you for the prayers, for our beloved mom, Nancy. We feel them, and we continue to believe that she feels them too. Our mom is a kind, faithful, loyal, fiercely loving woman of goodness and light. She is funny, spunky, and clever. She has grandchildren that adore her and crowd around her and cover her with kisses. She loves fun and adventure. She is a devoted friend. She is full of kindness and knowledge. Talk to her and you'll see.
The light is missing from our lives. Nancy is our mother. We are her children. She is our beacon. She holds fast to joy in all of life's circumstances. She chooses joy day after day, despite having already passed through great trials of pain and grief. We are always going to be merely human, just normal human people who need our mom. Mama, Mama, if you're listening, we need you to come home. We miss you.
Our mom is our heart and our home. She is 84 years old. Her health, her heart is fragile. She lives in constant pain. She is without any medicine. She needs it to survive. She needs it not to suffer. We too have heard the reports about a ransom letter in the media. As a family, we are doing everything that we can. We are ready to talk. However, we live in a world where voices and images are easily manipulated. We need to know, without a doubt, that she is alive and that you have her. We want to hear from you, and we are ready to listen. Please reach out to us. Mommy, if you are hearing this, you are a strong woman. You are God's precious daughter, Nancy. We believe and know that even in this valley, He is with you. Everyone is looking for you, Mommy, everywhere. We will not rest. Your children will not rest until we are together again. We speak to you every moment, and we pray without ceasing, and we rejoice in advance for the day that we hold you in our arms again. We love you, Mom.
Love you, Mom.
We love you, Mom. Stay strong.
We love you, Mom.
So you should know that the reporting that's come out over the last 48 hours is that TMZ released first that they'd been emailed a ransom note. They turned it over to the FBI. They had not heard back from the FBI about the processing of it. KOLD, a local station in Tucson, also reported they had been the recipients of some kind of ransom communication, as well as KGUN, another Tucson local station. And the reports of the contents have included requests for millions of dollars in Bitcoin, as well as details about the crime scene. That has not been verified, that those details are accurate. And also clothes that Nancy Guthrie was wearing. The police, the sheriff's department, originally said on Monday they had no idea what Nancy Guthrie was wearing when she was taken, when she was kidnapped. That's the word they used, kidnapped. So the ransom notes have made a lot of news today, especially since Savannah and her siblings referenced those ransom notes. Brian Enton reported around 4 o'clock today, and again, I'm recording this on February 4th, that Savannah Guthrie had been shown the ransom notes. In her video, she said she heard of ransom notes. She also, you know, appealed to our better senses that there are so many false images and false narratives that can be manipulated when it comes to video, etc. Whether that meant she'd seen some pictures or not, her message was clear. She and the family are ready to talk to whomever might be behind this, but they need proof of life. They need to know their mom is alive. So this was a big pitch to the potential that these ransom notes may be legitimate. There are many schools of thought that they're not, that this is someone in Myanmar trying to make some money on Bitcoin, or that this is someone crazy trying to insert themselves and create mayhem. There are crimes that are associated with that, and if they can find them, they will be prosecuted. Or this could be a red herring from the person who actually did take Nancy. A red herring to deflect from what happened, or maybe an effort to make money. It could be those scenarios. Nobody's weighing in on what those, which might be, or any, might be accurate. And I want to bring up, you know, the issue of my reporting again, and something more that I have learned today that is adjacent to this. First, though, as always, I am very thankful that you are a part of this podcast. I'm thankful for this community. The reason you're here is the reason I can be here, and my sponsors help as well. Let's talk about something important, your health and your well-being. If your gut is off, everything is off. Your digestion, your energy, your mood, your focus, it all starts in your gut. And when your gut struggles, your whole body feels it. And that's why I trust Just Thrive Probiotic. It turns your gut into an antioxidant factory, which means better digestion, healthy immunity, and more energy, and even weight management. Thank you. Just Thrive Probiotic comes in capsules, or it comes in berry-flavored gummies. Also, thank you. So there's an option for everybody in the family. And of course, I'm the one who chooses the gummy. Yeah, more than the kids. So it's a little treat, and it's good for you, and it's going to make you better. So here's my challenge. Try Just Thrive Probiotic for 90 days, risk-free. Visit justthrivehealth.com and save 20% if you use my promo code, Banfield. Just pop it in there, 20% off. You're welcome. See the difference for yourself, or get a full product refund, no questions asked. Take the 90-day Just Thrive Probiotic Challenge today at justthrivehealth.com/Banfield and be the best you with Just Thrive. One thing that happened today, a day after I received my information and I published, I also received information that the Sheriff's Department in Pima County got very locked down, and that there was an effort Sheriff's Department-wide to clamp down on the possibility of leaks. To which I say, well, if my information wasn't accurate, then it wasn't a leak. If it wasn't accurate, it's not a leak. If it is accurate, maybe it's a leak. And this clamp down and this consternation among the department was palpable today. Does that mean anything? I'm just giving you the facts of what my source has released to me. And to this point, I just want to tell you something. I had a conversation today with Megyn Kelly on her podcast about the way journalists and law enforcement often have push-pull and work on these scenes, especially when there are gag orders and investigations that are underway and there might be some obfuscation, etc. This is the conversation I had with Megyn about that.
Okay, last question, Ashley. The sheriff, Chris Nanos, the one that we've been discussing, actually issued a statement, apparently in response to your news, that reads as follows. At this point, investigators have not identified a suspect or person of interest in this case. Detectives continue to speak with anyone who may have had contact with Mrs. Guthrie. Detectives are working closely with the Guthrie family. While we appreciate the public's concern, the sharing of unverified accusations or false information is irresponsible and does not assist the investigation. No suspect or person of interest has been identified at this time. Which is not exactly a denial of what you reported, but seems aimed at you. Your thoughts on it?
That I've had it happen a million times, and they don't want to release that publicly at this point. They're not naming him publicly at this point. That's how I look at that. Listen, I said very carefully, may be prime suspect at this point. I did not say they've got their suspect at this time. That's not what my source said. Source says that he may be the prime suspect at this time. And I understand that. I understand that they're doing their work, and they want to probably keep him talking. You know how it works. The minute somebody stops talking and they get a lawyer, it's harder. The work is a little bit harder. Again, my great thanks to Megyn Kelly and the Megyn Kelly Show for letting me show that clip of us today. Also want to tell you a couple things that happened. And Brian Enten has been just way out front on so much of this reporting. Right around the 4 o'clock hour, as he was live on the air, he said, there's just a lot happening all of a sudden. Multiple law enforcement officers showed up in their vehicles, got out and started searching around the back of Nancy Guthrie's home in the Wilds area. And there's a lot of like cacti and all sorts of stuff. It's very rugged out there, but they started doing what he called grid searching almost. That was around the 4 o'clock Eastern hour today. Multiple cars, multiple officers. At around the same time, in the 4 o'clock Eastern hour, he witnessed at Annie's house, which is about 4 miles down the road, a number of federal officers with the letters on their jackets, ICAC, which stands for International Crimes Against Children. Don't jump to conclusions there. Many reasons why officers like that might be at a scene that have nothing to do with children. They're excellent in cell phone technology analysis, technical analysis, technology analysis, and guess what else? Tracy Walder, former FBI, has said multiple times now that the ICAC is also excellent in tracking kidnappings, especially child kidnappings, but not necessarily just kidnappings. And then Brian put two and two together. And he said, you know, this is interesting. When we watched those people going in and out, we saw they had a ring light and an iPhone tripod stand. And Tracy Walder put two and two together and said, well, guess what? I would not be the least bit surprised if the ICAC officers were the ones who set up the video that Savannah and her siblings, Annie and Cameron, delivered and posted on Savannah's Instagram account. So that's entirely possible, the reason why the ICAC officers were there. They were there to help with scripting because Tracy Walder, again, former FBI, said that sounded like it hit all the notes that the FBI would want a message to hit. And so they may have been working hand in hand with Savannah Guthrie's family to craft the script, to craft the written statement, and then to actually shoot it. And there's Brian Enten seeing that they've got the ring light and they've got the tripod. Around the same time, Fox News reporters on the scene, witnessing, shooting video of federal agents going in and out of, again, Annie Guthrie's house, 4 miles away down the road from Nancy Guthrie's house, and carrying, first they reported items out of Annie's house and putting it in the back of federal SUVs, then later saying boxes. Moving boxes out of Annie Guthrie's house and putting it in the back of the federal vehicles, those SUVs. Again, that's reporting from Fox News. Important to keep all these sources straight because these are two different scenes that are very active all day. There's activity happening throughout the day. So you might think, is it possible that the federal agents that Fox News witnessed carrying items and carrying boxes out of Annie's house were carrying the ring light equipment and that iPhone tripod? Maybe, but as Brian reported, he saw them carrying it in by hand and no boxes. So that's for you to decide, not for me to determine. At the same time, it's super interesting to think this through for a minute. Whomever may have written these ransom notes, right? You would use, you know, if you're, you know, trying not to be detected, you would use a VPN, you would use encrypted technology, you might even, you know, use a burner email. And it's not easy to do all that stuff. And so part of the investigation might be going, at least this is where I would think it would be going, towards investigating if somebody researched that, right? You got to think it through. Unless, of course, you're in Myanmar and this is just a scam, then you know what to do. And you've got that all in place. They scam us all the time to the tune of billions in America. So, and Myanmar is not the only place. It happens in all sorts of these massive call centers, scamming call centers. But research would be needed if it's somebody local and if it's somebody connected to either Nancy Guthrie in some way, contractors, friends, associates, whatever, or if the source that I have is right, possibly the person they say may now be prime suspect, and that's the brother-in-law. There would be some research that would probably have to be associated with how to do that. That could be helpful if that actually comes to bear. Internet extortion is not easy. And it is a little odd as well, according to a number of people who traffic in this business of tracking the bad guys. Getting a ransom note 80 hours later, 72 hours later, is odd. Odd, especially when the victim in this case is 84 years old and has life-saving medication that she's without. That's odd as well. So all sorts of reasons to think that maybe these are scams, you know, blood-sucking parasites who've inserted themselves either to make money or just make a problem. And again, if that's the case, I sure hope they catch whoever did that and prosecute to the fullest extent. A few other things. Dogs were brought to Nancy's property. Around 6:30, this is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours after Brian said, whoa, activity just started here. A bunch of officers showed up and no crime scene tape, still hadn't. The crime scene was still released as of Monday, right? They released it 30 hours after the call came in that our mom is missing. And at around 6:30, crime scene tape went back up for about 2 hours. Weird, 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 weird. Crime scene tape goes up 6:30 Eastern time again. Dogs show up, FBI, Pima County Sheriff, again, grid searching. They're going in and out of the house. And then Brian Enten throws up the drone and he gets a look. Again, News Nation's Brian Enten, just extraordinary in his reporting on this story. He gets a look inside the garage and he and his photographer, Mo, and their producer, Dave, get a very clear shot of agents inside Nancy's garage. And they're, you know, they're looking around, processing. Hard to tell what they were doing, getting, taking, if anything, but they are keenly interested in at least Nancy's garage at this point. They have been interested earlier in the day out back doing the search, but they were en masse. And when I say en masse, the report is dozens of law enforcement at this point have shown up. That's a lot. Also, something that Brian and his team witnessed when the agents were in the garage, they saw the agents take 15 to 20 evidence bags into the garage. They did not see those bags come out, but they saw 15 to 20 evidence bags being taken into Nancy's garage. Again, Nancy's house, not Annie's house. But very important that they witnessed this searching going on inside the garage. Also want to let you know, and this is key, a lot of these crimes, honest to God, crowdsourcing helps. If you know anything, large or small, and that you always hear law enforcement say this, no tip is too small. It can lead to something that's massive. So they ask you call 1-800-CALL-FBI. Again, 1-800-CALL-FBI. You can also submit tips at 88crime.org. 88crime. That's 88crime.org. Really key that we all keep our eyes peeled for anything that might be of interest. And the Pima County Chief of Detectives said today that they've been getting about 200 tips a day. 200 tips a day. If you don't think that's very many, he also said what the average is, and that's about 12 to 20 on a normal day. So listen, if you're watching this episode after February 4th, just know this. Coming ahead is a pre-planned press conference by the Pima County Sheriff, Chris Nanos, and it was scheduled for, I think, 1 o'clock Eastern time. On Thursday, Feb 5. There could be updated information in that press conference. A few things surprised me about the last press conference, right? On Tuesday, the sheriff said, we're not going to have another update until Thursday, unless warranted, which in a circumstance where there's allegedly a madman out there or mad people out there who have abducted a woman and left blood on the front stoop, I found that odd. Some of the neighbors have already said publicly they are nervous about this normally quiet, crime-free community that this has happened. But no update today publicly from the Pima County Sheriff. Tomorrow, again, Feb 5, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, another update press conference is scheduled. Will it be the same, which is I don't have anything to update, but I'm willing to take your questions? I don't know. But there is another thing that stands as strange in this whole scenario. 30 or so hours after the report that Savannah Guthrie's mother had been had disappeared. Crime scene tape not only goes down, but the Pima County Sheriff announced they're not searching anymore. They've called off the search permanently, unless things warrant it. That's odd. It's an odd thing to say, we're not searching. That soon after the disappearance of a woman who can't walk 50 feet, as has been said by the sheriff, on her own without help and doesn't have her medication. So just a lot of very strange circumstances in this. And I think that's why everyone's so invested. the heartbreak for Savannah Guthrie, someone we all feel we know and someone I do know and love, and also the mystery that we just can't wrap our heads around. I will continue to update you as I get more information. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And please remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.